Welcome to Business Resolutions, a weekly discussion about business in Puerto Rico with Jorge Gonzalez, attorney and management consultant.
Welcome to Business Resolutions. This is Jorge Gonzalez, and my guest today is Andres Lopez, attorney Andres Lopez. Hello, ¿cómo está, Andres?
Muy, muy bien. Gracias, Jorge. Thank you for having me.
Well, Andres, our contacts initially really is with the Harvard Club and the Harvard Connection. I still remember when Sherman Wildman interviewed me at the beginning of this program, and he said, what does the Harvard graduation or connection mean in terms of your career? And it kind of stumped me. I sort of stepped back and said, well, I hadn't really thought of that. And I remember answering him, it opens the door. It made it possible to really get in any law firm I want to. But once you're in the door, you've got to prove every day. It's just kind of an entry that helps. But we have this connection with Harvard. Andres is the president of the Harvard Club, and he's involved in the recruiting of students in Puerto Rico for Harvard. And I think I'd like to start there, Andres. And you're telling me that your son is in the midst of choosing what schools to apply for. He's a junior at San Ignacio. But so tell me, in terms of your role in the admissions recruiting process for Harvard, what does a school like Harvard at this stage, different from, you know, I was going back to almost 50 years, what they're looking for? What do you find are the kids that are getting in and the kids that are just not making? What are those attributes that Harvard is looking for?
Yeah, I was about to say, Jorge, that the first thing I should note is that I don't know if you nor I could get in today, because the kids that apply...
I'm not going to accept that proposition.
Well, let me tell you, man, you would if you were looking at these kids. I mean, they're just so above and beyond, you know, what I used to consider to be, you know, the top-notch students. They're just the level of excellence, their level of involvement is really something else. And you asked me, you know, in this day and
age, I think you would have gotten in.
I'd like to think so, but let me tell you,
what I've seen,
it's become. I mean, it was always a competitive process. Now it's become exponentially so, because it's just a global phenomenon.
Yeah, how have the amount of applicants? How have they grown? How many do we have now for Harvard versus, you know, when you started?
Yeah, they've basically mushroomed. I mean, whereas before, maybe when I was applying, they were looking at maybe in the 20,000.
This was the early 90s?
Late 80s, early 90s. For the college, late 80s, and then for law school, which I also had the privilege of attending, early 90s. But now focusing specifically on the college, be looking at maybe in the 20,000s. Now it's closer to 40.
Right.
And a lot of these kids now are truly just from international backgrounds, that with the availability of, you know, the internet and technological advances, are able to place really, really well in these tests. And so, you know, at the end of the day, look, you know, they are certain attributes that you have to have, and you have to obviously have a demonstrated set of smarts, and you do well on your test scores. But here's an interesting fact. The president of the admissions office there over at Harvard, and like you said, I co-chair the group that interviews applicants from Puerto Rico. But the guy in Cambridge says...
It's not Bill Fitzsimmons.
It is Bill Fitzsimmons.
He was my classmate. He was my classmate, a goalie of my hockey team.
There you go. Well, he is there to this day.
Wow.
And Bill said something that I thought was incredible.
He's going on 45 years.
Well, let me tell you, he loves what he does.
You know? I tell you.
That's okay. You know. And I found it to be the most remarkable thing. And if there are any prospective college applicants that are listening, or certainly parents like I am now, of a prospective college applicant, I thought this was really interesting. He said, to show you the extent to which numbers, yeah, they're important, but are not, you know, the end all and be all, right? Because sometimes you think, well, you know, if I don't have passed a certain number in my SATs or in this or that other exam, then I don't have it. He said the following. If he wanted to just have only perfect scores, sure, only 800s in his class, he'd be able to fill not just one class, but three.
Three classes
with
perfect SAT scores.
Straight 800s,
yeah.
Which I thought was remarkable. And then he continued on and to in a roundabout way get to the answer to your question. He said, but that's not what Harvard is after. What Harvard is after for each and every applicant is something called a distinguishing excellence. In other words, what is it within a well-rounded presentation of attributes that, yeah, includes grades and smarts and extracurriculars and all that good stuff, you know, what makes that person stand out, right? What has that person done in his or her young life that will make him or her a really interesting participant in this, you know, in this melange and this amalgamation of students that they try to combine with each class? And I thought that was just really stellar in terms of, and what I find made Harvard great in my experience, you know, that this was a place that really was the only time in my life that you would have such a high concentration of such interesting people from so many different backgrounds at one time. And, you know, where, to the point where you end up learning almost as much, if not more, from the people that you surround yourself with than in the classroom itself. And that's something that Harvard really strives to provide, and I think they do it very well.
And also that kind of person, whether it's in the, in my case, the ice hockey team, or whether it's in the newspaper, the Crimson, or whether it's in a class, they force you to go at your top level.
You gotta elevate your game.
And you have
you gotta
to,
elevate
which,
your
which
game.
Which is I think, a critical thing. So. And in terms of getting students in to Harvard from Puerto Rico, what has been more or less the scorecard?
Yeah, the score. I mean, again, very very competitive in the olden years, right? In my time and before, there was a really good period there that we had maybe, you know, anywhere from 10 to 15 kids getting in each year. Again, with the advent of increased global competition, you know, every jurisdiction has suffered. And for the better part of the last decade, we were getting about 6 kids in pretty consistently. And it went down even further, which alarmed us, frankly, over the past couple of years. But now this year, I'm happy to report, we're back to 6. And hopefully, you know, ideally, we'd like to get it back to where it was. Because the thing that it does is once you have a critical mass of folks coming in from the island, you know, those bonds, right, the power of the Harvard network being what it is, tend to last a very long time after graduation.
The kind of student I was just yesterday, sometimes I vote for the Board of Overseers and the Harvard Alumni Council. What's so difficult is, I don't know if it happens to you, you look at the resume of all the things, you says, they're all fantastic. I mean, why choose? How can the hell can I choose among these people? But I decided to go through the exercise of deciding, you know, what are the top 6 out of the 10 or 11 that were there. But I remember there was a person from India who then got a full scholarship into Eton. And then from Eton got a full scholarship into Harvard. And you know, is now very, very successful, working out of London, and a very global person. But I mean, this is the kind of person that we're not competing with. So if we went from 10 or 11 or so down to 6, that's kind of in line proportionally to the application pool that has gone from 20,000 to 40,000, and the areas around the world now that all these students are applying from. And of course, one of the other things, I don't know how many people know this, but Harvard, I'm happy to say also Andover, the school I went to before Harvard, are need blind in the sense that you apply and they accept you without looking at your need for scholarship or grants or loans or what have you, and then they work out. Once they admit you, they work out some way or other a way to make sure that you can get through and pay your school tuition and boarding and meals and all that.
It's one of the most groundbreaking phenomenon of modern day admissions. Now it's been going for a few decades, but the notion that, you know, what Harvard is after is purely folks with that distinguishing excellence factor that I was talking to you about, regardless of wealth, regardless of income, has revolutionized the concept of higher education, because every other school in the country that has the ability to do so, right? Because that's a lot driven by the level of the endowment that the school has.
Right.
and they've made it even better. I mean, today you can actually get a full ride, a free ride at Harvard if your family's income level is below a certain amount, which is, again, a transformative.
That amount is what, $60,000, $70,000?
Yeah.
More or less.
That sounds about right. And, you know, when you're talking about a process, you're talking about the increase in applications has been also met with a commensurate decrease in the level, the percentage of acceptances. Now it's, I think for this year, it's like somewhere around 5%. Yeah, I mean, 5% of these kids.
It's outrageous.
And it is something else.
Just about all of them, you know, could be potential students.
Oh, yeah.
And come out pretty well. You know, going to do all right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I just have to take a break. I'm with Andres Lopez, attorney Andres Lopez. We're going to be talking about what made you special. Why Harvard? Because I disagree. Why Harvard chose you. And we'll talk about your career and a couple of other areas that you've gotten very involved with.